thing, you know.
Okay, let's see what we can do with this now. This is an interview with Mrs. Elizabeth Beach Shepherd and Mrs. Beverly Beach Eaton, recollections of their childhood spent at Valley Falls Farm. The interview is taking place at their former home in Valley Falls, which is now occupied by the Burke family. And it's June the 30th, 1994. The interviewer is Artis Abbott, municipal historian for the town of Vernon. Beverly, I'd like to start with you, if I may, and ask you if you can recall, was it your grandfather who built this house that we're in now?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother.
And grandfather, mm-hmm. Yes, and as their summer home. He was a physician in Hartford, and they spent their summers out here and had the farm.
Do you know what year that was? When they built the house?
No, I do not know. But our recollection is, of course, it goes back to the 1920s. But the actual date that they bought the land and built the house, I have no way of knowing.
I see. And what was your grandfather's name?
Dr. Charles Coffing Beach.
Mm-hmm. And your grandmother?
Was Mary Batterson Beach.
Mm-hmm. And what is your earliest recollection of spending time on the farm? How old would you have been?
It would have been in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandma and Grandpa always came out here and spent the summer here to get away from the heat of Hartford. And it was only 18 miles
mm-hmm.
from her house out here. And then they built Birchwood, which was the other house over here. And the different families, we were usually there 1 month, and my cousins would be there another month. So every summer we would do that, and there was a great going back and forth between the two houses.
I see. That would be the one right, is it just uh-huh. adjacent to this one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was...
That was also one of the houses.
I see.
In the, uh-huh. And then you'd go up a little bit further on Bolton Road, and there were two houses that were owned by my uncle, Goodwin Batterson Beach, and his family would be there in the summer, so that all the cousins could be there together.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Joe's family was always here in the house.
Yeah, Jay Watson Beach and his family usually stayed here
mm-hmm.
In the house with Grandma and Grandpa, but we always had the other house over there.
I see. And your father's name was?
Charles Bradford Beach.
Charles Bradford Beach. And then there was a third house you mentioned.
Well, then going up Bolton Road a little bit further there, my Uncle Goodwin Batterson Beach built a small guest house. And then above that was his home, which they called Windy Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And the smaller house below was Windy Hollow. And he and his family stayed in the bigger house. And then the guest house always had his children by his first marriage or was rented to a cousin, Godfrey Day.
Mm-hmm.
So that the whole family was like a family compound here at that time.
Must have been a lot of fun. Can you tell me why they picked Vernon for a place to spend their summers?
Well, it's rather difficult now because I was very, very young at the time, and so that was why the dates of the original property purchase, I don't know. But grandmother always told me that they had a summer home down in Waterford and that it was just too far for her children to come. It was a long trip, so she wanted something that was closer so that her family could come more often to see her. And she told me the reason she picked this property was that it was facing east. It was on the east side of the river, so that her children could finish their day's work in Hartford and go east and have the sun to their back and wouldn't have to look into the sun to mm-hmm. come out to see her, and she felt that they would come more often that way.
I see. Mm-hmm. And it's probably cooler out here, I suppose, too, than in Hartford.
Oh, yes. But it was only 18 miles, but it was so different, you know, get away from the heat of the city
mm-hmm.
and come out here. And I remember all the men used to come out after a day's work, and the first thing they would do would be to head for the swimming pool, and we children would all be waiting for our fathers and our uncles to come, because then we didn't have to be, we could be a little bit more reckless, and they would throw us in the pool, and it was much more fun when the uncles fathers were there.
We weren't allowed to go to the pool by ourselves at all.
No. Somebody had to always watch. Somebody had to be lifeguard, huh?
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit more about this pool. There's no pool today on the site.
Well, it was going to be right over the bank here, you know, on the lower terrace. That's where my grandmother wanted it, but there were too many small children. It was too dangerous to have it so close. So that's why they put it down where they did.
So it was down where near the old mill pond, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, right near the pond down there, just below the farm, because it was too dangerous up here.
But they put it lower than the pond, and then the water from the pond went through three filter beds.
Charcoal beds,
which went in and fell the swimming pool.
And then it could be drained off into the creek after.
Yeah.
We saw the remains of it when we were down there. Poking around.
Then even below there, and though it was long, I don't remember, was another house where Grandmother called where the dump was. And there was the house at that place, and it burned.
That's after
in a fire.
Yeah.
And the only thing that was left was a stone foundation. And that's what we used as what we called our dump. Mm-hmm. And all our But it had been a boarding house.
I see.
At one time, and there was a fire, and they just let it burn.
And that's just beyond the swimming pool,
just below.
There. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I know where you mean. We went over with an archaeologist, and we were pulling out old kinds of interesting things that were in the ground there.
I don't know whether actually, whether it was a house when Grandmother acquired the property or not, but I remember her telling me that there was a house there and they had a fire and they just let the thing burn down because I think they were people living in there or they hadn't kept it up or something, but they just didn't want it, so it burned.
Yeah. Now, when the property that your grandfather owned, did that include all of the part that's now the town park of Valley Falls? Do you know how many acres altogether
there were? If I'm not mistaken, I always thought there was 200 acres.
That's what I thought.
200 acres.
And the one on the other side, up here, too, on the other side, plus all down through there.
I see. And the farm was a working farm
at
that time?
Yes, and even when we weren't out here parts of the summer, we still got our vegetables and our milk and everything brought in.
Is that right?
By the farmer, every day went to our house and Uncle Joseph's. Whoever wasn't here got it. And I will always remember the milk that we got from here and the cream. It was like being over in the Jersey, you know, in the English Channel Islands.
Oh, yeah.
And you take that bottle and you turn it upside down and nothing would come out because the milk or the cream was yellow. It was so rich. Mm-hmm. And we were all brought up on unpasteurized milk. We never had pasteurized milk.
Is that right? Okay. Were these Jersey cows?
Yep. Well, they were Jersey or Guernsey. Whichever one gives the real rich
Jersey.
Yeah. I think it was the Jerseys, and she had a regular herd down there.
Oh, and it was a Dorico family, the original Dorico family, old Andy, and then his son. So it was
three sons.
And his three sons.
So it was Andy Dorico was the farmer who worked
the
farm, and then he had three sons, they were
Andy, Morris, and Billy.
And between the whole family, they managed to keep the farm going. Was a lot of the land cultivated or just a small amount? Do you remember how much they had under cultivation?
Well, I know coming up the road here, that whole section before you went down the road to the farm was all a picking garden. It was just beautiful. And then as far as the rest of it, the vegetables were all there and everything. Chickens were down on the farm. So we got all our chickens. We got our turkeys. All that was.
I remember when grandmother started the turkeys. They had quite a bit of trouble getting the turkeys started down there. And then the turkey, that would be from the farm down by the pond.
Yeah.
That hill was all the turkeys.
Oh, yeah.
And we had pigs and we had horses and lots of chickens and the cows.
Yeah.
And it kept the farmers, they were busy all from early morning to. And then about the time before World War II, when defense started, Pratt and Whitney and all those places in East Hartford started, many of the people that were content to work on the farms wanted to go into defense because there was so much more money to be made in defense. So it got increasingly more difficult to get farm help. And then the young boys were going into the service. And then when they came out of the service in, say, 1945, 46, they didn't want to go back to farming. Mm-hmm. And it just got increasingly more difficult to get help to run a farm. I think a lot of them went cooperative. Mm-hmm. But we kept ours going as long as we could financially keep it going.
And through all that time, did you still spend your summers here? Because you must have been grown
up. Well, I didn't, because by then I was married and gone. Mm-hmm. And my husband was in the service. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go. And then too, my grandparents didn't come out here like they used to. You know, when we were all younger. And then when my father came back from the service, he came out here and lived. This was his home. Mm-hmm.
See, there was gas rationing, you see, during the war,
oh,
and that made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't, and as grandma, they were getting a little bit older also, but grandmother fell in the elevator one day and broke her hip, and I remember going in and taking her to the hospital,
yeah.
And then I stayed with grandfather. I was here, I was working, but I spent a lot of the time here, and then I did go in the service myself and was in for 2 years. And so after that, I really didn't. After 46, I didn't spend much time here at all.
I see.
And I was married in 46, yeah. After I got out of service. Mm-hmm.
So your years growing up here as children are what you really remember the most, probably,
yeah.
About it. Mm-hmm. And can you describe to me what some of the activities were that you, what did you do?
We just made our own. That's why I get such a kick out of what the kids have to have today provided for them by the town and by all these things. We didn't have any of that. We just had a good time all being together.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that there was anything special that was provided. We did have the pool, but we had to have an adult, you know, go down. And
we fished. We had canoes, and yeah. I remember I used to do a lot of fishing, and I can always remember the happy day. And my mother used to take a hairpin out of it. She had long red hair, and she'd have it done up with a hairpin. And I'd tell her I wanted to go fishing, and she'd take a hairpin out of her hair and bend it into a hook. And I'd be gone for the rest of the day, and off I would go fishing. And it was always such a happy day when they figured that I had reached the age that I could really have my own barbed hook.
Mm.
And I have a picture of coming home with a whole bunch of trout. Grandfather had the stream stopped every spring.
Every spring it was stopped.
I see.
Which
mm.
made it very nice.
So you fished the stream or the
yeah.
pond?
Yeah. And I can remember once I always went fishing with my grandfather on the opening fishing day. And I can remember being called into the headmistress's office one day and wanting to know where I had been the day before. Was I sick? Because I hadn't been. And I said, Miss Guernsey, no. I said, you know I always go fishing with my grandfather on opening day. And she said, oh, I had forgotten that. And the maids used to make these wonderful little cucumber sandwiches, and we'd have a little lunch pack. And grandfather would go on one part of the stream, and I would go on another. And then we would meet at a certain time and have our picnic together on the bridge.
Well, I want to know if you caught any fish with those hairpins.
I did.
Did you really?
That was what
pumpkin
was
seeds.
So, and we had perch. And then I can remember we had wonderful pickerel in there. We used to have a great time. We never swam there,
mm-hmm.
but we did love
we
to
We just
fish.
Had a good time, and we'd go down and spend a lot of time down at the farm. A lot of time.
And we would help the farmers.
Yeah, the bad part about going down there was if we ever got there when they were slaughtering a chicken or something, it was just very upsetting. So my grandmother just would make sure that we didn't go down at that time, because we wouldn't eat anything if we'd seen it.
Yeah.
It was always very sad when we lost a little calf or something, you know. We love the little calves, and sometimes at 5 o'clock we'd call the cows in, and there would be a mother cow missing, so we knew that she had her calf somewhere. So we'd start out walking through the pasture and into the woods to see if we could find the little calf, which we did, and the farmer would come and carry it back, and then before we knew it, the little calf disappeared. And it was always a very sad day when we knew that the little calf was somebody's dinner. We didn't like that at all.
There's some parts of the farm that isn't fun for children, and I guess the...
But she was very careful about coming out and saying what had happened. It either choked on remember the pig that choked on something, that pig that disappeared?
On eggshells or something?
Some stupid thing that she said that pig had choked on, and of course we were young enough so we believed it, you know, we didn't believe it had been slaughtered.
But there was not, it was such fun to ride on the tail end of the station wagon. We loved the tailgate. And we could sit there, and the farmer would be delivering all the things around.
Well, we'd go into, if the place is still there, we'd go into, would be the north part of Manchester. There was a big granary there.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, I don't know if it's still there or not, the building is there. And that's where we used to go all the time with the
We used to help them pick the vegetables, and then they would take them down to the farm where the Doricos are now, and they had a spout of water there, and they would wash all the vegetables off before they started delivering to the families. But they would always ask us what we wanted, how many quarts of milk or cream or what would you like, and they took the orders from each one of the families, and then they would go pick the vegetables, wash them, and then bring them back and deliver them to the family.
I see. Did they make butter down there too?
Yes, they made butter. And the other thing I remember is always my grandmother's maid would walk down the path here to Birchwood, and at the corner of the driveway of Birchwood was a I don't know what you'd call it, like a little drain there, you know, with a spigot coming out, and that mm-hmm. was coming from the springs up on the hill. And she would come down before each meal, and she would fill the pitchers with that cold water from there.
Cold, fresh water.
And we didn't want one because it was always filled with salamanders. Little salamanders were always in there. Mm-hmm. But I can remember them coming down. I'm like, those were the days to live.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and
I'd like to have a spring right now, and I'd like to have a maid that would go and get my spring of water.
That house was called Birchwood.
Yes.
Because of all the birch trees.
Because of the birches around it. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the next one up was...
Windy Hollow. And then Windy Hill was my...
And then Windy Hill.
But there was quite an open area there before...
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was all woods. But we could walk through the woods up to there.
Now, did Mr. Dorico live in the farmhouse down on the right across from the red barn, the one that's mm-hmm. painted white and green? Then who lived in the red house on the corner? Was that part of the farm, too?
Well, originally that was the chauffeur's quarters.
I see.
Well, yeah. John had the smaller part. John's
yeah,
was
and
the
then
smaller.
And then William
and William and Hazel had
the bigger part.
The garage,
and that was of course all gardens going down there. And then they had the tennis courts were down there. And then after my father took it over, then his brother-in-law lived in there.
Mm-hmm. So when your grandparents were living here, it was the chauffeur lived there.
The chauffeur
lived in the house, and then in the garage apartment was the
gardener.
The gardener.
No, the gardener was in the smaller car. The Hazel and William had the apartment behind the garage.
Now who were Hazel and William?
William was my grandmother's chauffeur.
That was the chauffeur. I think he and Hazel lived in the apartment in back of
where
the...
John lived?
John was in the cottage where the hookers were. That was John's cottage.
All right, I think you're right. Yes, I think you're right.
Now, which one was... Is that the red house? The,
mm-hmm.
the
it's red now.
Red house, mm-hmm. yeah.
With a porch on it? That was where the gardener lived, John.
Mm-hmm.
But the chauffeur was William. And there was an apartment back of... Was there three or four stalls to the garage? I can't remember.
I think three
stalls to the garage, and then and behind that was an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his wife lived in there, William.
That's right.
And John was in the little cottage.
I see. So can you remember some of the things that you did when you were living here and growing up?
That we shouldn't
do? How many? Yeah, I did some things you shouldn't have done. You must have gotten into mischief once in a while.
we had a cousin. My Aunt Elizabeth had a middle son who was pretty close to my age. And we were the two bad ones, I guess. We had fun all summer because he would be Tarzan and I would be Jane. And we didn't always do nice things, Jane and Tarzan.
But I remember tree house.
We had tree houses. We did all sorts of things. But I remember we used to call, I guess, was Babs our cousin or what was she? We call her, she lived up in Windy Hollow, and we call her up and ask her if she wanted to come down and play. And oh yes, she'd love to come down. Of course, she could walk through the woods to our paths. Well, my cousin and I made sure we were up in the trees someplace and tormented the life out of her when she was coming through.
So how many cousins were there?
13.
13 all together, huh? And we had three of our cousins lived in France. Their mother and father were divorced many years before that, and they lived in France, and they would come over every summer and spend the summer here up in, mm-hmm. in the cottage there. So there were 13 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. And you would all be here together for about a month? Or did you spend the whole summer?
No, we each had a month. My aunt was with Capon's family, had a month, and then we had a month. In Birchwood.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the overflow would come up here to the big house.
I see.
But Jay Watson and his wife always were in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And then then Uncle Goody married a second time, and he and his second wife and their two daughters always lived in Windy Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Had their place there, and she had a lovely garden. Always loved her garden.
Flower garden.
Mm-hmm. Flower garden. Mm-hmm. But Grandmother had a beautiful garden, and her roses. Where you just can't believe the roses that she had. Mm-hmm. John
Elizabeth Park had nothing on her roses.
Really?
Oh, no.
You'll show her some pictures.
Every morning, Grandmother would have breakfast and come down, and John would have a huge basket of cut flowers, and Grandmother would sit out on the end of the porch. And I always remembered, I don't know because I was the oldest one, I don't know, I always had the flower duty. And that meant I had to run all over and bring all of the dead vases down to her and discard the flowers and wash the containers and then fill it with water and sit while she made the flower arrangements. And then when the flower arrangements were done, then she told me which room and where they were to go and all. And Uncle Joe always had bachelor buttons. He had to have a vase of bachelor buttons on in his room, which he always did. But I look back on it, and I thought it was a real labor of love, and I really didn't enjoy it. And I look back now and think of what a wonderful experience it was, because I love arranging flowers now. I'm not a dirt gardener,
mm-hmm.
but I love flowers and I love to arrange them, and I hope my grandmother is looking down on me and saying she did learn something when I made her sit and help me arrange flowers. You know, it was...
Well, you were a lady, I was a tomboy, so...
Well, maybe that was because the oldest one, they expected more out of you.
More
of you. But I think I often look back, and at that particular age, we would have been teenagers, and we always thought that we would live like that, and it never dawned on us that we were so fortunate to have had all this. I don't think we appreciated as much as we really probably should have, because I thought it was always going to be there, and mm-hmm. that style of living was always going to be available to us.
We never went to the table in here that we weren't dressed.
Mm. Oh, no. Mm. Always dressed for dinner.
The manners were much different.
Oh, yes.
And particularly at dinner time when we were dressed, and there was linen on the table, and there was somebody to wait on you, and your manners were perfect, and you didn't leave the table until everybody was through, and it was a very nice way.
Gracious, very gracious
very,
way.
Very nice way of... that a lot of the kids today just don't see. And it's too bad.
Well, I can remember Grandmother always saying to us that we had to remember that this was the canning season, and also they were making soap, so we were not in any way interfere with the kitchen help, because they were working very hard to can for the winter, and they made all their soap. Do you remember the making of the soap?
Also, I'm surprised that they would have been making soap then. Is that so?
Yeah, and I remember all the washing, whether it was done in Woodland Street at home, or whether during the summer it was out here, every piece of laundry, every bedding, everything was done by hand. and all ironed, and everything was monogrammed, and it was all ironed by, you know, everything. They didn't have washing machines.
No, no.
And dryers and all that, that thing.
Oh, it was over a scrub board. They worked over a scrub board, and she had a laundress called
Hannah Halsey.
And Hannah was a member of the family. And she did the most gorgeous ironing.
And then she had a German girl, Betty. I don't know what Betty's last name.
Betty Becker.
Who did all the monogramming on the sheets and on the napkins. Betty did all the monogramming herself.
Mm. How large a staff did they have out here to be able to do?
Well, she had a cook, and she had...
And she had Betty.
Betty, and then she had a...
And she had Hannah.
And Hannah.
And there were two chauffeurs.
Yeah, like my grandfather being a doctor, he had to have his own.
There were two chauffeurs. He had his
and the gardeners.
And the gardener. And then the Dorico family. So it was quite a staff.
I should say.
And all the, a lot of the staff stayed in
the Maisonette.
The Maisonette, the little house that's over here, that's where they stayed. Well, we haven't given you any historical background of the place, but
I think we have a little information about the house, who the architect was and so on. If you recall anything from your childhood that your grandparents might have said about it.
As I say, when you're that age and you don't realize that 60 years hence they're going to ask you questions.
Yeah. I think Aunt Elizabeth could.
Aunt Elizabeth, and also another thing to remember too, there wasn't the closeness of generations. There was a certain reserve that you only spoke when you were spoken to. And
children should be seen and not heard.
And they never really told us very much or confided us or anything like that, because children should be seen and not heard, and you only spoke when you were spoken to. So there wasn't the closeness of the generations which we have
but
today.
But a lot of respect for our elders.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't think of talking back to our
elders.
Oh,
no. Wouldn't think of it. And you did
you
it
might
once.
Might want to.
No ifs, ands, and buts.
No.
You just
and you
did
never
it.
Asked why. It was just because I said so.
Mm-hmm.
You never asked for an explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think very often that's why we don't know a lot of things, because they just never told us that.
Yeah, that's true. That I can understand that. But when your fathers and uncles came home in the afternoon, you had a good time just the same in that swimming pool, right?
Oh yes. That was fun.
The most fun, though, was, but even more fun than that, was when, I don't know whether you ever went, but on several occasions I went down after work with the help. Away from here, and I had a good time down there then.
They were allowed to use the swimming facilities after 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, occasionally I was allowed to go down, and I liked that.
And grandmother always kept a whistle hanging on the wall of the bathhouse, so if there was any distress of any time, you blew the whistle, because occasionally some people would come down from the railroad tracks, and so she always had a whistle there in case anybody wanted help. And it was always wonderful to lie. We all had screen porches, and it was wonderful to lie on the screen porches at night and hear the train come around the mountain, and we called it Cicero. And every once in a while, Cicero, you could hear it spin its wheels there. And I always remember the crickets were just absolutely wonderful to lie in bed and listen to the crickets. And it was always
and
so
the whippoorwills. You don't hear them anymore.
No.
The whippoorwills were. But you could also stand up on the porch. I don't know if they've still got the porches up here, and I think they do. But each bedroom had its own screen and porch. You could stand up there and you could watch the storms coming up through the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful.
We used to have a snake that used to curl up on the stone wall. He loved the heat of the stone wall. And grandfather, being a scientist, everything was a lesson. And he'd tell us all about the snakes. And then I can remember, well, I came out and stayed with him when grandmother broke her hip. And I was walking down one day by the tennis court, and a little partridge had flown against the wire of the thing, and I picked it up and I brought it back to grandfather, and I said, look what I've got. Oh, he said, let's dress it and take it to Mary. in the hospital. So Grandfather dressed this little bird, and we got in the car, and we drove to the Hartford Hospital with this little bird for Grandmother's dinner. Mm-hmm. And they called the chef in the Hartford Hospital to tell him how to cook it for her. Can you imagine in those days? And they cooked the little partridge for Grandma to have for dinner that night when she was a patient of the hospital.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
I remember on this porch out here, my grandfather always sat right there in the corner. Mm-hmm. And there was a big bush there. And every single summer there'd be a bird's nest in there. But it was so low that you could look right down into the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said then that if he ever saw a cat on this place, he would shoot it without even thinking, because his birds meant more to him than the cats did.
Well,
there he is, sitting in the corner.
Oh, yes, yes.
Excuse me, I think the silverfish had quite a feast on that. But see the snowball tree?
Yes,
there?
Yes, yes. And that was your grandmother on the other side? Mm-hmm. What a nice photograph.
They were a great couple, but oh, did I adore him. I just thought he was...
What, was he a general practitioner, or was he a surgeon? Or
a little bit of everything.
In those days, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yes. He boined you, and he took care of you, and he took care of the next generation. He was a real family doctor. In fact, where I live in South Windsor, there was just one main road going up there, and it was a dirt road in his day, and he remembers going up there in his horse and little carriage.
Mm-hmm.
Up to East Windsor Hill. He had his patients up there. And he was way behind his time. I mean, he knew answers that it
had
way ahead of
time.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very, very well-known doctor and a great scientist. He knew everything about birds and insects and rocks. Just a very interesting man.
And he used to say that I was the most illiterate of all his grandchildren. But the happiest.
The happiest. But as I say, I just, looking back now, I spent a great deal of time with him. And I also lived with him on Woodland Street for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very close to him. Maybe that's why I have a lot of the memories.
Sure.
Because I probably spent a little bit more time here.
Probably reminisced a little bit. And then, you know, that kind of refreshes your memory, right?
Oh, I can remember him telling us he would take care of a woman during her 9 months of her pregnancy, and then he would deliver her, and after he got the woman all in a pretty nightie and the baby all looking beautiful, then he would invite the family to come in to see the newest member of the family. And he said for the whole month that he took care of, the 9 months that he took care of her and delivery, he was paid $15.
Is that right?
That was what, if he was fortunate enough to have even gotten that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But he just was a wonderful doctor, and I don't think, he just was full of compassion, and I don't think there ever was a question of money involved at all. He did it because he loved life,
mm-hmm.
and he loved to give. He gave so much more than he ever took.
He practiced in Hartford, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He was a medical director of the Travelers Insurance Company for over 60 years.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we learned all the facts of life from his office.
We shouldn't tell.
Okay,
his office was in their house in Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he wasn't there, well, we'd make a beeline for his office and go through all his medical books and this.
And we'd have a family party, say it would be Easter, Christmas, or Thanksgiving, and we'd have a great big table with maybe 20 people sitting at this table. And well, I always remember we started with, oh, it was the most wonderful way to live, really. And then after we would eat, there were two entrances to his office, a back door and a front door. And we children would always go into the office, and one would stay guard at each door, so that if Grandma and Grandpa were to come in and catch us going through his medical books, we could alert, so we could always get out the door that they weren't coming in. We did that, I can remember.
Well, she was horrified. I remember going into my grandmother's room one day when I was expecting my fourth baby, I think that was what, and there was a space in between the third and fourth. And she whispered to me, she said, do the other children know about the baby coming? Oh, he said, Grandma, of course they do. And I was very obviously proud. I said, they love to put their hands on my tummy. And I said, they'll even say goodnight to the baby. Oh, my dear, she said. Because in her day, they went into confinement.
Yes.
And you never discussed it until after the baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't get over the fact that my children would put their hands on my tummy and feel the baby move, or, you know, they say goodnight mm-hmm. to the baby or something.
Yeah.
She, oh, my dear. My
She's
dear.
Very, very Victorian.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
very straight-laced and very much in command. And she wanted it done her way.
She was the ruler of the family.
It would be her way of doing it, no other way. She was the captain of the ship.
She was.
And
yeah.
Grandpa kind of went along with it. He had his science.
Oh, he was a great guy. He was a great guy.
And he never interfered with any of the household things. He never interfered, I don't believe, with any of the raising of their children, really. He just lived his scientific, medical life world. And she was in charge.
She was in charge. How many children were there in?
Four.
Well,
they had four.
And I can remember almost up until the time my grandfather died, I could always see them sitting together and always holding hands. There was a great deal of affection.
They were married 62 years.
Is that right?
And I can always remember them holding hands.
And grandmother always told me that, of course, the families in those days, there weren't that many families in Hartford, and so they all intermarried, knew each other, and grandma and grandpa had known each other for years. And before my grandmother could marry him, her father had to be sure that my grandfather was going to amount to something, or he wouldn't have given permission for her to marry him. And he was one of the few people. Most of the people that went into medicine went from high school into medicine, but he was very fortunate that he had gone through Yale, graduated from Yale in 1877, and then went to Columbia University Physicians College, and then after that studied in Europe for several years. So he had a very good education, and they were married when they were 28 years old, which in those days was a little bit on the older side, but my grandfather had to prove to his future father-in-law that he was going to amount to something before he was able to marry Grandpa.
Not today.
His family had always been in manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't want to get into that. He did work for Beach & Company for a little while, but basically he wanted to go into medicine.
What type of manufacturing was that, Beach & Company?
In wool. They
oh,
did
really?
Wool products.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but Beach & Company was a well-known manufacturing company in Hartford in the middle 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Woolen cloth? Was it?
Well, the only thing I remember specifically him mentioning that they made was the inside lining to firemen's boots.
Oh, yeah.
So that wool. But it was a wool.
Mm-hmm.
And grandfather, in 1877, did not attend his graduation at Yale because he was on his way to the Canary Islands in search of the cochineal insect, which they used in their manufacturing business. But Beach & Company was a fairly large manufacturing company in Hartford at that time.
So, I wanted to be sure to remember to ask you, after World War II, when was the last that you used, when did you sell the property? Do you recall?
Well, after World War II, my father came out, but I don't remember just which year he found that it was just too much to maintain
mm-hmm.
and keep the farm running. You couldn't get the help, and it was
yeah.
just...
Mr. Jericho was still on the farm then,
mm-hmm.
was he? Or was it the sons?
Oh, well,
the sons.
The sons,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. He just found that it was just too much.
Yeah. When he used this house, were the other houses used then?
The Rushers were renting that house.
I see.
And the Hookers rented the little small house down there on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I was married here in 1946. I was married right in this room,
mm-hmm.
or in that room there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure exactly how long they were here in the house before they moved to Farmington. But the farm just got too much for them to handle. I have the dates.
And he practically gave it away.
Did they sell the whole thing to the Doricos?
No. They sold it to some of them, from down the Essex way, and I think that's when the Doricos bought whatever they wanted from
I don't think
my father sold anything to the
I think the Doricos bought from the line.
Yeah.
So it was sold, the whole piece was sold.
Everything
at once
was sold to that one.
To that one family.
It's real estate.
Yeah. And then they developed the land.
Yeah.
I see. And that would have been after 1946.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I can remember bringing...
I was married and had the kids and I was...
Oldest daughter here in 1947, and then we moved to Richmond, Virginia. So, now wait a minute, we came back in 1951, and they were still in the house in 51.
They were
here in 51, I remember.
I really don't remember when they moved to Farmington.
It would have been probably in the 50s.
Now, this is your father, that right, Beverly?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's your father, Charles.
Yeah. Our mother died very young, so this was a second marriage for him.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But I do remember they were living here in 51, and sometime after that moved to Farmington. But I have that information at home, but not on the tip of my tongue at the moment when I was so old.
I understand. Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly appreciate you talking with me this morning. It's been very interesting, and
not much historical about it, but it's...
Well, it'll be history. It's already a way of life that is gone,
believe me. Yeah.
And so it really is historical.
Yeah.
But I would be very happy to answer any questions and take them to my aunt. And she is presently living in Doncaster.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very difficult, hard of hearing on the phone.
Sure.
But I do occasionally go to see her. And I can ask her any questions, and she's the only one of that generation, and she's got a very, very sharp mind still, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that she would give you any information.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Have I forgotten anything that you'd like to tell us?
I don't think so. It's just fun being back here.
Okay.
Well, we think it's wonderful that you're doing this, and it's bringing back so many happy memories.
Well, we came out once when my sister was here from Idaho. We came out, and it was before the Burks owned the place. And it was in such a state of disrepair that we said, we'll never come back here again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the shutters were falling off the roof. They had a big coal puller. It was awful. We came out to visit the Rushes when they were living there. And then all of a sudden, Burks come along, and we were over at the Rushes. I think it was at the Rushes when we saw how much nicer it looked over here. And then I got to know Carol very well through a musical thing that we do together. We've been out, and some of my kids have been out to see the place,
mm-hmm.
which has been fun. And I hope the rest of them can come out too. She said any time was fine with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope that we'll be able to establish it as a local historic district, and if we can, then we can preserve a lot of this rural history in Vernon.
We see it all going. We're losing it all. Look, it's so wonderful that somebody's interested enough.
And it's just if it's not, you don't have control over it. Like us on Main Street, Old Main Street in South Windsor, we're not in the, even though our house is 150 years old, we're not in the historic district. But there are two houses that are old houses that aren't quite in the historic district, and the same family has bought both houses and absolutely trashed them, and they never cut the lawn, they have broken limbs, they have broken windows, and it's driving everybody crazy. But there's nothing we can do.
No. There's
not a thing we can do.
Mm-hmm. It's discouraging. Well, again, thank you very much. I certainly appreciate it.
Very much.